जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, delivered on the occasion of the 50th year of ISKCON, delivered on 24th of July 2016 in Toronto, Canada.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हाय कृष्णा
Like to welcome all of you to a Sunday program. As you probably know, every temple that's gone has a Sunday program. So our topic today is ISKCON's 50th anniversary. I think most of you, or nearly all of you, are regular visitors to the temple. Is there anyone who's coming here for the first time? So as you know, this year is very special for ISKCON because we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of ISKCON Incorporation as a society and the Golden Jubilee of the first ISKCON temple that was established in New York. So I thought that we could discuss this topic. Would that be okay? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Mayanya. The scriptures explain that Radha Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he personally, along with his associates, put the holy name to worship every corner of his life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted, Pritivati Ajinata Nagaranadigam, Sarvata Prachara Purvimona. One day, in every town and village of the world, the holy name will be chanted. When the Lord makes a prediction, it has to come true. Is that right? When you and I make predictions, it may or may not come true. But when the Lord does it, it has to come true. So our our spiritual teachers, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they worked very hard to make this prediction come true. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great spiritual teacher who re-established the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who endeavored to realize Lord Chaitanya's prediction. He wrote a book on the life of Lord Chaitanya and he sent it to universities around the world, and believe it or not, he didn't forget Canada. He sent this book to Canadian universities, namely the one in Montreal. We may have sent it to Toronto University also, but Montreal we have evidence because this book, which was sent in 1896, was still laid in 1967. In the first ISKCON temple open in Canada. The Thakur Bhaktivinoda had also predicted that very soon a Maharathi. Maharathi means an empowered preacher will appear who will take these teachings all over the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote nearly 100 books and poems. Most of the bhajans that we sing are composed by him. He wrote books in Oriya and Bengali and in English. And in the British rule, he was holding very important position at a district magistrate. Bhakti Bhaktivinoda then prayed that please may the Lord send someone who would carry out this movement after his departure. We all have limited time on this planet. And in response to this prayer and sincere desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Lord said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who first appeared as Jumna Prasad. It was a tradition in those days that the Rath Yatra cart, you all took part in the Rath Yatra, there were three chariots, but the biggest and the original Rath Yatra, as you know, is held in which city? Jagannathpuri. And it's been a tradition that the cart would stop in front of the district magistrate's house. So the cart had stopped, and Bhakti Sinanaji's mother took the opportunity to take the baby and place him at the feet of Lord Jagannath. And when she did that, a garland from Lord Jagannath fell on the baby's neck, thereby signaling to his father and mother, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife, this boy is a special child of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying for. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was trained by his father, and he was a very staunch devotee of the Lord. Nice thing of brahmachari. And he would always sit with his back straight. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji continued the work that was started by his father. And one of his many activities, one of his goals was to help realize Lord Chaitanya's prediction. Make it come true. The Lord makes a Hare Krishna. When the Lord makes a prediction, the devotee's desire is to help realize it. That is the real devotee. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji sent some of his sannyasi disciples to the western countries to establish Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, they were not so successful. Srila Prabhupada Pandaracharya was born in a very pious Vaishnava family. His father's name was Gormonde, who in Prabhupada's words was a middle-class cloth merchant. Though a middle-class cloth merchant, he had a great desire to serve the Vaishnava community. And he had a great desire that his son, Abhay Charan, become a great devotee of the Lord. He would regularly host saintly people in his home. And when they would be departing, they would say, thank you for the hospitality. Is there anything we can do? He would say, just bless my son. And he becomes a great devotee of Lord Radha. So Prabhupada got this very nice training from his father. He taught him how to play mridanga, Sanskrit, at a young age. At the age of 7, Prabhupada started organizing Rath Yatras in Calcutta. The chariot that they made was an exact duplicate the chariot in Jagannath Puri, and this Rath Yatra gradually increased in popularity. Can you hear me clearly in the back? Can you hear me in the back? Or is there echo? Can you hear me in the back over there? Mr. Moore? So Prabhupada's Rath Yatra had become very popular in Calcutta. And at that time, Mahatma Gandhi was leading the freedom movement in India, and Prabhupada was studying in Scottish College, Calcutta. It was a very famous college, where the professors at that time were all come from Scotland. And Prabhupada was very active in Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. In 1921, a friend of Prabhupada, he was actually more an acquaintance, but then even a very dear friend, told Prabhupada, "There is a very special sadhu in Calcutta. I want you to come and meet him." Prabhupada responded, "I have met so many sadhus in my life that I'm not so impressed by them. I don't want to meet another sadhu." But his friend insisted, No, this sadhu is not like the others. He's very special." The Prabhupada had a great fortune of me getting an audience with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He was a very powerful, empowered preacher of the holy name. Bhaktisiddhanta, when he met Prabhupada, Prabhupada was young, he could recognize, he is this young man who could take Vajradhara's movement to the West. So, in their very first meeting, he said, "You're an educated young man, you speak very good English, why don't you take Vajradhara's teachings and explain this to the people in the Western country?" Prabhupada, as we said, was very involved in Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. So he said, "First we should make our country India independent." And Bhaktisiddhanta convinced him that real independence is not political independence. Real independence is not economic independence. Real independence is freedom from the cycle of bondage. Do you agree with that? Are you concerned about that? Okay. Freedom from the cycle of bondage. So the seed was planted in Prabhupada's heart in 1921 that he has to meditate and eventually how to spread Vajradhara's teaching in the Western country. At that time, because of Srila Prabhupada's other commitments, he could not wholeheartedly dedicate himself to this job. But nevertheless, the seed was planted and Prabhupada began to meditate. How can I fulfill my Guru's order? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, just like you can't separate the body from the soul, you can't separate yourself from the Guru's instruction. Prabhupada began to meditate how to do this. In 1944, he started the Back to Godhead magazine. The Back to Godhead magazine still comes out regularly, but at that time, the Back to Godhead magazine had a more simple format, in 4 or 8 pages. And Prabhupada would write very topical articles in that magazine. For example, in one of the magazines, he published an article called "Sorry, No Time." So you may wonder, what is this? Sorry, No Time? So Prabhupada explained in that article And he met a very important person. And Prabhupada was convincing him, please take to Krishna consciousness and do it which you will in your life. The gentleman said, Swamiji, you don't know how busy I am. Sorry, I have no time for that. And next day, he had a heart attack. And he died. As the scriptures say, they endangered every step. The Prabhupada Bhagavad magazine gradually became very popular. Prabhupada actively helped Gaudiya Mandir establishing a center in Bombay. And in 1935, Prabhupada had met his Guru Maharaj in Radhakund. Everyone's familiar with Radhakund. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji drew a picture of a mridanga and said, if Krishna gave you any facility, print and distribute books. And this is called, what is it called? Brihad Mridanga. Brihad Mridanga, to those who may not know the meaning, means the loud mridanga. Brihad means loud. Mridanga you see in every temple. So, an ordinary singer's voice, or an ordinary mridanga's voice, can only travel to a point. But a book distributed in Toronto could be read in some other part of the world. We have experience. A book distributed in one country is read in another country and acted upon in a third country. So and then in 1936, before Bhakti Siddhanta Ji left the planet, Prabhupada again wrote to him, my dear spiritual master, please tell me what I should do. How can I please you? Bhakti Siddhanta Ji responded, this letter was written just 2 weeks before Bhakti Siddhanta Ji left the planet. He responded and said, you're an educated young man. Take Vajradhana's teachings to the The Prabhupada was only working in this direction. And later on, Prabhupada started translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. He translated it. He translated the first volume, second volume. When Prabhupada was doing this Bhagavatam, he was residing at the Radha Dama temple in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was a one-man army. Have you heard of a one-man army? You know what it means? Beginning to end, everything was done by him. He would translate the books sitting in Vrindavan. He had an old typewriter, manual, not like the modern typewriter. An old, second-hand, manual typewriter. Then he would travel from Vrindavan to Mathura, and then travel to Delhi by third-class compartment. Those of you who come from India probably know that they don't even have third-class compartments anymore. They were so useless. And then he would travel by rickshaws to the printer, get the books printed, and eventually get them distributed. He would distribute them himself. So he would translate the books, do the fund collection for printing, get the books printed, and get them distributed. So by this process, Prabhupada translated Canto 1, Volume 1, Volume 2, and then Volume 3. After Volume 3 was done, Prabhupada's concentration, Prabhupada's determined efforts go to the West intensify. Prabhupada had a friend in Mathura whose name was Mr. Agarwal. I'm sure there are Agarwals in the audience. And he had a son who lived in Butler, Pennsylvania. Have any of you been to Butler, Pennsylvania? Were you had? So, this is Gopal Agarwal, was his name, had gone to America to do higher studies. He got married to an American girl and settled in Butler, Pennsylvania. So his father was telling Prabhupada, my son went to America to study. I thought he would come back to India. But he ended up settling there, getting married to an American girl. So Prabhupada said, why don't you ask your son to invite me to America? I want to take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western world. Prabhupada never expected it, but his friend Agarwal wrote his son and said, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, great preacher, wants to come to America to preach Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Please help get him a sponsorship. Within 3 months, everything was finalized. The invitation came from the Indian Embassy in New York because Gopal Agarwal completed all the formalities to show that he was going to sponsor Prabhupada. And Prabhupada himself was surprised that Mr. Agarwal told him, your invitation has come, Swamiji. Then Prabhupada proceeded to get his passport made and complete the other formalities. One of the formalities those days which was required was to get a clearance on his P form. One bureaucrat said, Swamiji, this invitation you have from America is not valid. You're going on religious work. This is a private invitation. Prabhupada said, let me meet your boss. So Prabhupada went to meet the boss. It was not Mr. Rao. And as soon as he saw Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, I have done your work. So Prabhupada was relieved. But then the challenge was, how to get to America? Even before this endeavor had started, Prabhupada was meditating. He'll go to New York. Usually those days, rather Indians, deep-rooted relationship with England. Most Indians would first go to England. Prabhupada had America in mind. And he tried to approach different people for sponsorships. But everyone said, from India it's too expensive. Still, Prabhupada wasn't incurable. Someone told Prabhupada that there's a pious lady called Srimati Maharaji who has ships, passenger and cargo that go all over the world. Maybe she will help. Prabhupada had already met her before and obtained her help in publishing the Srimad Bhagavatam, was kind of pathway. So Prabhupada met her and she said, Swamiji, at this age you want to go to the West? Prabhupada's age was almost 70. And he had never been to the West, never seen snow, and he hardly had any contacts. But he was determined to help realize the Guru's order. Prabhupada's activism. This is my Guru's order. I have to do it. So when she saw that Prabhupada was so determined, then she finally said, okay, Swamiji, I will help you. But I'll help you to go there in a cargo ship. You know what a cargo ship is? I mean, these are, you see, ants for traveling in ships. But these are all luxury liners. I'm sure no one advertises to take a joyride on a cargo ship. In the cargo ship, there was only one cabin that was reserved for Bhaktivinoda Swami. Srimati Maharaji, being a pious lady, she lived right near what was eventually a Jewel temple in Bombay. And she was a religious lady. She arranged for the captain of the ship and his wife to especially look after Prabhupada. She gave Prabhupada money to buy warm clothes. And before departing for the West, Prabhupada went to Mayapur, took the blessing of his Guru Maharaj, and on August 13, 1965, at 9 a.m. sharp, Prabhupada departed from Calcutta on the Jaladuta for which country? New York. And Prabhupada had obtained a 3-month visa, that's all, up in America on a 3-month visa. Initially, the ride was rough, as you, those of you who have traveled by sea know, you get seasickness, which is very common, vomiting. Prabhupada had a Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali with him, and he would regularly read. It was rough riding. On the 13th day of the journey, Prabhupada had a heart attack. Not a major one, but he had one. And subsequently, another heart attack. So after these two attacks, Prabhupada was thinking, now my mission will not be successful. I should maybe go back to India. But he had two heart attacks. When he was 70, he celebrated as Janmashtami on the ship. But then the Lord is always there to protect us pure devotee. Then, the next night, Prabhupada had a dream. In that dream, there was a boat pulling the ship in which Prabhupada was traveling. In that boat, there was the Lord and the demigods and the great sages. And they were pulling the ship in which Prabhupada was traveling. And the Lord personally told Prabhupada, don't worry, your mission will be successful. So, Prabhupada went to the Suez Canal and he arrived in Boston. When did he arrive in Boston? Oh no, it's quiz. September 17, 1965. After a 35-day journey, you imagine what it is like, 35 days in the ship. And when they arrived in Boston, Captain Pandey took Prabhupada on a tour of the city in Prabhupada's song, how deeply people were committed to sense enjoyment. He began to wonder, who is going to listen to my message of pure devotional service? He wrote a beautiful poem, but since we don't have time, I'm not going to go over that poem. The gist of the poem was, Prabhupada said, my dear Lord, you brought me here. You do whatever you like with me. But I don't know why you brought me here, where the majority of the population is addicted to sense enjoyment. But he finally concluded by saying, but I know you call this mercy and make everything possible. I'm a puppet. Make me dance at the light. And he concluded by saying, but by Radhani's mercy, anything is possible. And the Chaitanya Chaitanya says, by the Lord's mercy, a blind man can see, a deaf man can hear, a dumb man can speak, and a lame man can cross mountains. Prabhupada then arrived in Boston, in New York, on September 19th. Then he was taken to Butler, where he went and stayed with his host. As soon as Prabhupada arrived in New York, he booked his passage to go back to India 2 months, 3 months later. So finally, Prabhupada arrived in Butler, where for some time he stayed in the house of Gopala Grover. Butler was a small city, and everyone in the town saw, oh, there's an Indian Swami here. So they began to telephone Mrs. Agrawal, asking her, why is an Indian Swami in your house? So she relocated Prabhupada to the YMCA, and she arranged for a press conference so that Prabhupada could. And then we were known through the media who he was. There was a local newspaper called the Butler Eagle that published an article of Prabhupada with the Bhagavatam set, first canto, 3 volumes, and he had just published in India. And Prabhupada also arranged for 200 sets of the first canto to be shipped to America. So, when that, there was this newspaper, the Butler Eagle, it published this article, Indian Swami comes to America, he just translated the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this article was read by an American professor of philosophy. He read, oh, some Swami here. And he was a professor in a college in a neighboring city. So he telephoned Mrs. Agrawal and said, can this Swamiji come and speak? When Swamiji was invited, I was asked, Swamiji, are you ready to speak to an American audience of students in a college? Prabhupada was in ecstasy. He had spent 1 month in the Agrawal house. But his real mission was to preach to Americans. That's why he went there. The Prabhupada gave a lecture in a college called, I believe the name was Slippery Rock College. Have you heard a crazy name like this? You know. Anyway, Prabhupada gave a lecture to the American students. And then after the lecture he would always say questions. So Prabhupada was so convinced and happy for the response he got, that he was convinced that the Americans are ready for Krishna conscious philosophy. Prabhupada at once moved to New York, and he virtually knew no one in that big city. There was one impersonal yogi, yoga teacher, from Dr. Mishra. We had a big ashram there. And Prabhupada had an introduction to him from some individual. So Prabhupada stayed as a guest of Dr. Mishra. His health wasn't good, but when Prabhupada's cooking, his health improved. But he saw that his students were getting attracted to Prabhupada's kirtan, Prabhupada's philosophy, which was the opposite of his purpose. So he very kindly said, "Swamiji, you will move out." Then Prabhupada had to move to the Bowery. You know, the Bowery is a place where you get drug addicts. Prabhupada was living in a loft of a drug addict because he didn't have any place to live. And one night, the drug addict came to attack Prabhupada. So he had no place to live even in America. He had gone from India with how much money in his pocket? 14 rupees, which are probably comparable to $7 at that time. And on the journey to America, he sold the first hand of 3 volumes to the captain of the ship for $20. So Prabhupada had landed in America with a total of $27, that's all. 70-year-old man coming to a foreign country with virtually no contacts, with just about $27 in his pocket. Prabhupada was determined. And then he kept staying in different locations and he started his preaching. Krishna gave him some success. And then there's a very famous park in New York. Well, at least it's become famous in this one, Tompkins Square Park. If you go to the park, now, have any of you been to that park lately? So there's a big plaque over there, put up by the city of New York, that states, this is a tree under which the founder of the Hare Krishna movement started this movement. So anyway, Prabhupada started doing kirtan there. Some sincere souls came. And then Prabhupada was thinking, now Prabhupada will give him a lecture in New York once in an ambulance and a fire will get passed by in a heavy siren. Prabhupada said, this is what material world is. We need to get a reset. And with the science to keep you all awake. So, Prabhupada and sincere souls came. And Prabhupada was then thinking, we should incorporate this one. So, there was a lawyer called Carl Goldsmith, was part of the congregation that Prabhupada had, who helped Prabhupada prepare all the legal work. So the issue was, what should we call our society? Prabhupada asked, why? Carl Goldsmith and the others said, call it International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said, God is too vague. You have to be specific. You call it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So then finally, I believe on July 13, 1966, Prabhupada registered ISKCON in the city of New York, in America, on July 13, 1966. Prabhupada wanted to open a temple in New York. another temple in Van Krishna before Prabhupada started registering his form. He was sitting in a bench where he met an American bus conductor, I believe. And he asked Prabhupada, "What do you do, Swamiji?" Prabhupada said, "I preach. Temples are there, devotees are there. Only time is separating us." In other words, Prabhupada knew temples will come, men will come, but time is separating us. So Prabhupada wanted to open a center. And devotees around Prabhupada pledged how much money, $10 a month, and they came up with enough money, $125, to rent a storefront. Prabhupada just had money for 1 month's rent. He rented a storefront, and next to the storefront, opposite, was an apartment with $75 rent, and Prabhupada went to his side. Those days, America was involved in the Vietnam War, and the drug culture was gradually expanding. People take drugs, why? Want to feel high. So our devotees made a nice pamphlet. The regular drugs, you take drugs, you feel high for some time, and then you feel low, you're back to normal. So they said, "Chant Hare Krishna and stay high forever." And then the first ISKCON temple opened in New York. That location where the temple opened was initially a boutique, and the previous owners vacated the boutique, but they forgot to rub the sign, the name of the shop. And what was the name of the shop? Matchless Gift. The devotees, when they saw that, Matchless Gift, they thought that was very appropriate. But Krishna consciousness is a Matchless Gift, am I right? Is there any competition? No. So the first ISKCON temple opened in New York, and we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of ISKCON incorporation and the opening of the first ISKCON temple in New York. Now, for your information, ISKCON has about 650 temples around the world. Virtually in every corner of the globe, there are temples. After opening temples in America, Canada, Europe, Prabhupada turned his attention to the former Soviet Union, where he went for a 5-day visit. But in 5 days, he met a Russian devotee, Russian individual, Yuri, trained him up in devotional service, initiated him, and instructed him how to preach. So today, due to Prabhupada's tireless efforts, there are about 650 ISKCON temples around the world. Prabhupada's main focus, major focus, is translating the books. And we said, Bhakti Sinanandi encouraged the publishing of books. And Prabhupada, in a brief span of 11 years, before going to the West, he had published 3 books. Bhagavatam Bhajan, 1, 2, 3. But after going to the West, he published over 70 books. And these books have been further translated into over 70 international languages. These books are today available in every language of the world, virtually. And people all over the world are reading it. Why? Because it's giving an answer to our problems. guiding us on the lead of His glory. So since this is ISKCON's Golden Jubilee celebration this year, we're having major events around the world. There was an event in Calcutta last year, in which about 30,000 people took part. We had a big event in Delhi and on May 28th, in which about 8,000 people took part. And we're having a big event towards the end of November, which we expect the Prime Minister to come. We had a major event in England about a month ago, in which the then British Prime Minister, can be wrong? David Cameron was the chief guest, but unfortunately he resigned a week later. But before he resigned, he did pious work. He came to the Bhakti Vinoda Manor in England. Garland and Prabhupada praised his comfort, his coming around the world. And about 2 weeks later, he lost the reward. So we have the holy festivals around the world to celebrate the 50th anniversary. In Washington, the Kennedy Center is planning a major event in September. So we're celebrating ISKCON Golden Jubilee. And as we said earlier, we know Prabhupada encouraged book distribution. Why? But these books contain wisdom, and this wisdom changes. I was recently speaking to a couple, congregation husband and wife couple, have become devotees. I asked the wife, how did you become a devotee? I often ask this question to people around the world I meet. She said, 6 years ago, I had purchased a Bhagavad Gita. I didn't even open it. I kept it in a book rack. My younger daughter, one day out of curiosity, opened the book and started reading. She found it so fascinating. She said, Mommy, you must read this book. It's amazing what this book has. The mother started reading this book. She was so inspired. She searched. Is there an ISKCON temple in this town? She started coming. And they ended up becoming devotees. And the book was purchased when? 6 years, no one even opened it. And 6 years later, somebody opened it. So these books have attracted people of all walks of life to Krishna consciousness. They encourage our devotees to read these books. And reading these books gives us spiritual strength. We encourage everyone to read, distribute these books. Because through these books, we can connect people with Krishna. So today there are about 650 temples around the world. There are more than 120 Govinda restaurants. I know many people when they travel all around, abroad, they say, where is there Govinda? There are Rath Yatras around the world, and there are schools, and schools in different parts of the world. There are more than 60 farm projects around the world. So devotees are celebrating this year as a very special year, where the Golden Jubilee of ISKCON Incorporation. And as a gift that they would like to give to Prabhupada, devotees are also endeavoring to increase book distribution. Why? To make a profit? Why do we do book distribution? Why? Why is Prabhupada pleased by book distribution? Why? Because if we, devotees want to save the world heading for destruction, global warming and so many other negative symptoms are hitting us. And the material world is a place of misery. The other day in Vancouver, I'd gone to visit a devotee in his old age home. It was a very nice home. But when I saw the condition of the other inhabitants there, I could see how painful old age is. But unfortunately, we don't realize it. So all of you sitting here, I'm very fortunate that you've got connected to ISKCON. And one of our major activities is so our Toronto Temple has undertaken a very special goal this year. That is to who knows what? Who knows what? Increase book distribution. The devotees here are committed to book distribution. Why? Because our spiritual teachers desire that. Why? Because they wanted to save humanity. So these books are aimed at purifying our consciousness, giving us knowledge, your material knowledge, your spiritual knowledge. We get plenty of material knowledge from educational institutions. What is lacking is spiritual knowledge. So we want to appeal to all of you as a part of our Golden Jubilee celebration to please join hands with a local devotee headed by Radha Mohan, who takes care of book distribution, to increase book distribution. What do you think? Is it a good idea or a bad idea? Huh? Well, I'm not hearing any response. Yeah? Are you hungry, waiting for the feast? So I hope you will not fast. I know many people in India, they tell me, Sunday Maharaj, we close our kitchens. I say, why? Go to the Hare Krishna temple. You know, so we have a special program this year. We are encouraging devotees to help distribute the Srimad Bhagavatam sets. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Vedic encyclopedia, the ripened food of Vedic knowledge, and it comes in 18 volumes, printed in India, on very high quality paper. And the purpose is to get everyone to have a Bhagavatam. How many of you have Bhagavatam sets in your house? Okay, not everyone. So we have two objectives. One is those who don't have Bhagavatam sets to please get one for their house. This is part of our Golden Jubilee celebration. And the other is, those who do have, they can inspire or they can volunteer to take on sets and give it to their friends as presents. There's so many occasions for presents, am I right? Especially in North America. Your Father's Day, Mother's Day, Daughter's Day, Son's Day. Anyway, any opportunity to sell more products. So, that's our appeal. Those who don't have sets, please take a set. And those who have sets, to pledge that we would like to take on sets and distribute them, get someone to take it. Either way, our target is to distribute 50 sets or get 50 set pledges in the next 3 weeks. It's a good idea. No? So how many of you would like to participate? So I believe there's a table over here.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah.
There's a table outside and Mother Meenakshi is there, so please, if you like to participate in this pledge, please join us outside and we'll be happy to give you more details.
Those who don't have should get a set. The sets are so purifying. Just placing them in your house is going to be auspicious. And those who have sets can encourage their friends, can take on pledges and then distribute these to their friends. So please help distribute 50 sets in the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for that? This will be our way of expressing gratitude to Prabhupada. Prabhupada always encouraged book distribution. And he said, as long as book distribution goes on, I'll never die. But through these books, he continues to read. So please read these books and help distribute these books. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
We're going to go for another 5 minutes, if it's okay.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.